Good morning. Wow, thank you. That's great. Wasn't prepared for that, but I'm grateful. Well, I know our hearts are heavy today about the horrific, atrocious shooting last evening. And later in the service, we will have a time of prayer to lift up our hurting community and, of course, the victims. But meanwhile, why don't you get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with the message this morning? Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Take that. Today's message is asking, who's your daddy? You say, is this deja vu? Didn't you just speak about something like this recently? Yes, I did. Back on Mother's Day, I asked, who's your mama? And so today, similar to Mother's Day, I'm not asking about who your biological father is. Most of us know that. Or if you have an adoptive father, not talking about that person. Of course, Father's Day is all about honoring those fathers amongst us, lavishing appreciation and gratitude and honor on them. I know from decades of personal experience that fathering is a tough job. It gets tough. Really tough sometimes, hard work, especially if you're trying to do a good job, as I think most of us dads want to do. Yet sometimes, with all the pressures of life, it really becomes hard work. That's just one reason God gave us the fifth commandment, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. This commandment is reiterated in the New Testament for those of us in the new covenant under Jesus Christ. And so it's for all of us, all of us. And yet, men and women, if you haven't noticed, are wired differently. Ever notice that? We have different needs and outlooks. Some experts have observed that while women tend more to desire closeness and relationships and love, men tend to value and want respect almost above everything else. God understands this, and so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5:33, and help me when we come to the yellow print, please, each man must love his wife, that's her big need, as he loves himself, help me, and the wife must respect her husband. So today, make a special effort to honor and respect and value your father. If your dad is passed, then honor his memory in your family today. If you and your dad had a falling out sometime in the past, and maybe don't speak to one another, maybe haven't for a long time, forgive him. Forgive him from your heart. And then contact him. And if it's called for, ask for his forgiveness. Show him honor. Do your very best to reconcile. But today, we're looking at five fathers in your life besides your dad. That's what we're studying this morning. The first is number one there on your outline, God, your original father. True or false? We are all, everybody on the planet, every human, we are all God's children. True or false? How many say true? How many say false? All right? It's kind of a trick question. It's hard to answer with a true or false answer. Why? Because Scripture, well, it's kind of nuanced at this point. On the one hand, in one very important sense, it's true. When Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says that we are, that is, mankind, is created in the image of God, this means that he was making us his kids. This is a way of expressing that. As the Apostle Paul says in Acts 17, we are his offspring. And he's talking to a pagan audience in this context. We are God's offspring. This means many things, but one is that we owe every human being on the planet our love. All of us are his kids by virtue of creation, made in his image. The Bible tells us, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said that that is one of the top commands for us, to love everyone. This also explains why in every human heart is a God-shaped vacuum that only he can fill. Deep inside of us, we all long to know him, to have a relationship with him, even though on our own we're clueless as to how to come into that relationship. And so we search for meaning, we search for relationship and purpose and love. We search for it in all kinds of ways. We search for it in possessions and status and money and sex and power. But though these things may provide some pleasure, they can't fill that God-shaped vacuum. We're all lost. We've run away from home. Let's look at the second father in your life besides your dad. Number two is Adam. Adam is humankind's father. All of us humans are related to one another. We all descend from the same father, Adam. Acts 17:26 says, from one man, he, that is God, made all the people of the world. Now they live all over the earth, one big family. Not one big happy family, but one big family. All of us in this room are related to one another. Even if we're of different races or ethnicity, each of us is a family member in Adam. This means that you're not only related to me, but also to Tom Brady. He's your brother. Taylor Swift, she's your sister. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin. Did you know that the Israelis and the Palestinians are actually brothers and sisters? Adam's your daddy. We come in different colors and shapes and sizes, but we're all of equal value, made in God's image. It's why Christians guard the sanctity of human life, every life, at every stage of life, womb to tomb, is precious. You know, an ounce of gold is worth the same no matter what shape it's in. You can shape it into a beautiful wedding ring or into an ugly snake, but it's still gold. Mankind is the gold of God's creation, and yet we know the gold has been corrupted with putrid impurities. When our first parents disobeyed God, they rebelled against him. And since then, the human race has been estranged from our original Father. We ran away from home. We ran into the arms of a kidnapper. And we've been there. We disowned our original father and adopted a new father. Which brings us to our third father in your life besides your dad. And that is Satan. Satan is the usurping father. You know what a usurper is? It's not somebody who just surps on a Slurpee. A usurper is one who seizes power illegitimately and claims what is not really his. And Satan is the usurping father. He's the kidnapping father. Are you repulsed by this? Do you recoil at the thought? Do you say, no, it can't be true? How revolting, how insulting. By what authority, Randy, do you claim this despicable thing? Answer, by the authority of the Lord Jesus himself. Look at his words in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. You say, yeah, but if you check the context, Randy, Jesus is speaking here to the wicked religious leaders who were plotting to kill him. Isn't that right? Yes, that is right. But this is also true of all of us. He was simply pinpointing the rebellion in them that's in all of us. Every person descended from Adam and Eve became alienated from God by rebelling against him, first in the garden, and then in every generation and in every person since. We've blown off God's fatherhood and adopted the usurper father, this evil, this rogue father. Originally, he was a glorious angel created beautifully and powerfully by God, but then he became prideful and he led a rebellion against God and was deposed from heaven. And he has carried a major grudge ever since. Later, he seduced us into joining him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle John says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We see that all the time, don't we? And notice that Jesus says back in that verse, John 8, 44, you want to carry out your father's desires. Is this true of us? Well, yes, it is. We need to own this. Just just as we have that God-shaped vacuum I spoke of a few minutes ago, we also have rebellion against God. It's baked into our very DNA, our nature. This is why you don't have to train a child to disobey. He already knows that. You have to train them how to behave, how to be polite, how to say thank you, how to share, that sort of thing. You see, it's all because it's in our nature. This is why we hold grudges, why we crave what doesn't belong to us. We look over at our neighbor's car or house or whatever and we covet. We tell lies, we lust. We get envious and jealous, prideful. We act selfishly. It's why we have crime and abuse and racism and rape and murder and wars and political parties that hate each other. It's why we have atrocities like the one last night in Rochester Hills. Jesus goes on to say about the usurper father, the devil. Look at, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Anyone here ever told a lie? Anyone here not told a lie? Now, don't lie. We all learn the liar language from our usurper father. We come at it naturally. Like Luke finding out that Darth Vader was his father. This is a hard pill to swallow. Have you come to grips with this fact that Satan is the kidnapper? He's kidnapped us. He's the usurper father. This is how you came into the world. You've disowned your true original father and ran into the arms of the kidnapper, the murderer, the liar. This is why we all need salvation. The fourth father in your life besides your dad is Abraham, your spiritual father. We've run away from home. But God is the very best of fathers, the absolute ideal, the ultimate. Imagine how you, who are fathers, would feel if your son or daughter ran away from you, denounced you, changed his or her name, so to put as much distance as possible, just reneged any relationship with you and joined up with a kidnapper, with a despicable, murderous person, this lying leader who rebelled against God. And yet, God still loves us. He's come after us to restore us to himself. So, we might say that he started over with mankind, with just one man. His name was Abraham, lived a long time ago, about 4,000 years ago. This man left by the prompting of God, he left his family, he left his country, he left all the comforts of home to respond to God's call to come to the promised land and father a new nation, a nation that one day would bless all the nations on earth. Israel is that nation. and still is to this day, has not been replaced. Abraham was the father of that nation. Abraham had a close relationship with God. It's the model for us. And he obeyed God and was even willing, if you know the story, even willing to give up his cherished son that he had waited and prayed for so long. But Abraham didn't get in good with God because of his good deeds. No, sir. He was a sinner just like all of us. But Abraham did have something going for him by the grace of God. We read about it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It says, Abraham believed the Lord. Help me. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Not by good deeds. He was counted righteous because of his faith. Question, is Abraham your daddy? You say, I guess not. I mean, I'm not Jewish. Well, in this case, ethnicity is not the issue. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, and then we go down to verse 29. He says, the real children of Abraham, that is, those that follow in his footsteps by believing in the Lord and being counted as righteous, the real children of Abraham are those who put faith in God. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Christ follower Abraham is your daddy. What was lost in Adam has been restored in Abraham, who, because he believed and trusted in Yahweh, was counted righteous. Do you know what that means? Counted righteous before God? It means God declares him righteous, declares him as though he is without sin. 2,000 years later, a descendant of Abraham named Jesus would bring this blessing of salvation to fruition, and this salvation through faith in him would be extended first to the Jews and then to all people everywhere, people like you and me. Let's look at the fifth father in your life besides your dad, and that is Abba. Abba is your heavenly father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic word. It's the word for father. Jesus spoke Aramaic. That was his number one language, and this was his favorite word for God, Abba. It was rather unusual in his day to refer to God that way. But he said that God was his particular, he was God's particular son, and he called him Abba. You say, now wait a minute, I thought we covered this under point one, God is our original father. Yes, we did, but remember, we needed to be restored and reconciled to him. And so now we've come full circle. Remember, we sold ourselves as slaves to a cruel, usurper, kidnapping father. We need to be reconciled and brought back into relationship with him, back into friendship, sonship. Notice what Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says. The Apostle Paul writing again, he says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. We were slaves to God's Mosaic good and perfect law, but slaves in the sense that we're required to live up to that standard but not able to, so that he could adopt us, Paul says. God could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir, redeemed, adopted. Adopted back. Who's your daddy? Now we can come to him, not just as a God out there, transcendent, beyond time and space, beyond the universe, but as a close, loving, friendly Father whom Jesus taught us to approach and pray to as Abba. Reconciliation to God comes through faith in God the Son, Jesus Christ. It begins when you repent of your rebellion. It begins when you say, I've got to return home. I've got to leave the usurper. I've got to leave the kidnapper and embrace Christ by faith. And when that happens, you're adopted back. You are reconciled to the Father. As Paul says in Galatians 3:26, you are all children of God. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, God is your Abba. You can talk to him that way. He invites you to do so. But adoption is expensive. Some of you know this firsthand from adopting kids. It's very expensive. But this adoption that I'm talking about here was the most expensive of all. It came with an infinite price tag, infinitely high, the death of God the Son. But Jesus paid that price. He suffered the penalty for our rebellion that we deserved to suffer. He suffered it in our place on the cross and arose from the dead. If you have not been adopted, if you have not come back home and trust in Jesus Christ, turn your back on your kidnapping father and embrace your original father, your heavenly father. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?